This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
What's more important than a healthy marriage? Studies show us that a harmonious marriage promotes competence and maturity in your children. They also demonstrate that a troubled marriage may result in delayed maturity, school difficulties, and antisocial or withdrawn behavior in your children. Marriages in the United States are increasingly in trouble, according to the statistics. In the year 1900, a little over 100 years ago, the records show about 8% of marriages ended in divorce. In the year 2000, roughly 50% ended in divorce, and the figures for second marriages are much less hopeful. Let me share some other incredible statistics. About 50 years ago, 79% of women reached their 15th marriage anniversary. But 30 years later, only 57% managed to stick it out for 15 years with their husband. Those figures indicate that it might be a good reason to take notes today, as Christian psychologist Dr. Brent Lindquist has invited marriage specialist Dr. Ron McLean to today's program. In fact, Brent and Ron will be here for a month-long series of four programs on this day of the week on how to strengthen or repair our marriages. So, Brent, let's get things underway by introducing our guest.
Hello again. I'm back with my first of a four-part series on marriage, actually. I'm interested in marriage. I've been married for 33 years, I think. Hopefully my wife isn't listening. And I'm always interested to find out ways that we can improve our marriage. And I hope you are too. I have a special friend and guest with me today, and that's my friend Ron. Ron works in the same city where I live in Central California, and he runs an organization called Marriage Mentoring Ministries. And they work with groups all over the valley in helping them build up marriage. And today we're going to talk about, you want to say hello, Ron?
Hello there.
Okay, great.
Good to be here.
Forgot to introduce him. We're going to talk about ways in which your marriage might be under stress, which if you're like me, that's a lot of the times, or if your marriage might be under crisis, which may mean that you need more work or help or whatever. Tell me a little bit more about that, Ron.
Yeah, well, what we've discovered working with couples is there's kind of two ends to the spectrum. Sometimes couples are in crisis who don't think they are. And then there are people who have troubled marriages or marriages that need some minor repair or some skill help who think they're in crisis. So, you know, and then there's a wide range in between. So what we've come to find out is there's a lot of couples out there who what I would call are maintaining in their marriage. In other words, they don't necessarily have a crisis marriage or even a troubled marriage, and they're just maintaining. And we'll talk about that in a minute, too. But what we've discovered is that a crisis marriage can be likened to, well, like a heart attack that comes suddenly and without much notice. And I would compare that kind of like somebody who has an affair or just found out their spouse emptied their savings account through gambling. That would definitely be a crisis. You know, addictive behavior, things like that. Or a relationship where one of the parties says, you know what, I just don't care anymore. And honestly, they just don't want to invest anything in their marriage. And that is a tough place to be. That would be considered, I think, a crisis.
Interesting. People that may be listening to this are going to be probably in all of those different places. What sorts of issues do you think are primary? I mean, you know, people ask me, what is the biggest issue? You know, so I want to share that opportunity with you. What are some of the biggest problems that marriages face, Christian marriages face?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, we had a class last night, and we had about 60 people there, and we put around the room some different categories of problems in marriage, like communication, conflict resolution, children and parenting, sex, in-laws, fear of getting close.
Yeah.
And we had the people get up and stand at the one thing they thought was the biggest problem in marriage in our culture, not necessarily their marriage. And most people stood by communication. you know, yeah. which I expected.
Yeah.
There were only two people. In fact, only one person stood by conflict, which really shocked me. You know, maybe nobody wanted to identify with conflict.
We all want to avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. But two people stood by fear of closeness.
Oh.
My theory, and I could be totally wrong on this because everybody has their own idea. My theory is the biggest problem in marriage is fear of intimacy.
Oh, okay.
Fear of getting close. Because if I really tell you who I am, will you still like me? And there's a real fear of being rejected, which causes communication problems, conflict problems, you know. And so that, you know, fear of intimacy is just huge, I think.
I happen to agree with you. Whether that's a case of the blind leading the blind, who knows? But the idea of this is that I think that it all builds out of closeness. If you can't get close to somebody at the beginning, that's a basic foundation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very important. And something that as the couples, as I shared that last night, that I thought, you know, fear of closeness was number one. They kind of looked at me. But as I explained why that's true, they all began to shake their heads up and down that, yeah, they understand that fear of getting close because nobody wants to be rejected.
So if somebody's sitting listening to this and they're saying, yeah, I really, really, really identify with that. I don't think I've been close. Or the spouse is saying, that's him or that's her. I don't feel that they want to get close to me. That's an indication of a pretty foundational issue that needs to be addressed. I'd love to talk more about that, but I don't want to make it our conversation so depressing. Maybe we could go back and look at a couple of those other things in more detail.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, as far as getting close,
yeah.
What we have found is a lot of reason why people don't want to get close is obviously the fear or the, you know, not knowing what's going to happen if they do get close. But what we've discovered is that couples lack the skills on how to get close. And so we have a program that we call Mastering the Magic of Love, which actually teaches a couple, and we model this for them in the seminar, how to have empathy for each other. In other words, how to show understanding to the other person that doesn't include judgment or, you know, cross-complaining, talking over the other person, where you can actually sit and listen to the other person, talk about a concern, and then the other person actually becomes that person and shows empathy and says, here's what I hear you saying. I, Joan, and then you basically would put yourself in that person's shoes. And of course, there are, you know, rules you need to follow as far as not interrupting and not trying to defend yourself. And what we've discovered is that men, especially because of our natures, you know, we want to fix everything.
Yeah.
And that when you have a skill of just listening and really trying to become that other person and not interrupting, that is the greatest gift you can give to your spouse, is really listening and trying to become them and understanding what they're going through, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing.
Well, that's interesting. That sounds like there's not a lot of technology that goes with it. You don't need a lot of books or equipment to do this. Somebody could do that 10 minutes from now when the program is over. They could actually sit and look at each other and say, talk to me.
Yes.
No, you first. No, you first. No.
Yes. Yeah,
but so they actually could. How would you start? How does that exercise start?
Let me give you a minute and a half example.
Okay, perfect.
This is a real short example. My wife would sit facing me.
Yeah.
And when we do this, we hold hands because it's real hard to, you know, argue when you're holding hands. So
hard to get too far away from the other.
Exactly.
When you hold
talking about getting close. So she would start off by saying to me, and what we do is we share childhood stories with each other because that's something that you wouldn't argue about. It's just something that happened. So it's safe to talk about. We start there. So she would say, when I was a 10-year-old girl, I remember being in the basement in my bedroom and hearing my mom and dad argue upstairs. My dad started to yell and scream at my mom, and suddenly there was nothing. And
wow.
I was scared as a 10-year-old girl thinking, did he hit her? You know, are they going to get divorced? And my mom came downstairs and started doing the laundry. Nobody ever talked to us about that. So every time after that, I heard my mom and dad argue, man, I just curled up in this ball and just was absolutely scared. And even today, when my husband and I argue or when I hear someone raise their voice, I just kind of go back to that 10-year-old girl and I'm afraid. And that's just a scary place to be. Okay. As her husband, I would then say, I would become Joan, and I would say this. I, Joan, as a 10-year-old girl, remember my mom and dad arguing and fighting, and my dad just, you know, really, really raising his voice and screaming and yelling and calling my mom names. And I was just so scared as a 10-year-old girl because I didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, it stopped, and I didn't know if he had hit her or what. And ever since that time, I have been afraid when I hear people raise their voice. And it just puts me in a very scary, scary place. And it's just a real tough place to be.
Then so, what does she say?
Then she would either say, yes, you got it. That's exactly what I felt. That's exactly what I experienced. Or she would say, well, that's not exactly what I experienced. I also felt this. And then I would come back and be her again.
Great.
Until we connected and she felt like, man, you really, really understood me at a heart level. Not just here's what I hear you saying, but man, you became me. You really got it.
And how long did you do that? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
Yeah, 5-10 minutes.
Start out small and short.
Absolutely.
That is wonderful. That's a perfect example of an exercise that you could do right after you're done listening to this program. Because it's not, you know, I don't think it's the gigantic things that we need to focus on. It's not the cruises.
No.
it's the 5 minutes face-to-face that happens in the middle of daily living that can make a tremendous difference.
And I would add to that, Brent, that the reason why we start those exercises with childhood memories is because, and it's interesting, last night we did this, and people were telling their childhood stories, and most of us have heard those from our spouse.
Uh-huh.
But in our debrief with the group, people were saying, I've heard that story before, but I never knew the depth
of
the pain that my spouse went through. And it just brought us closer together doing this exercise. So we encourage people, don't start with the biggest problem you have doing this.
Right.
Start with something that, you know, that happened in your childhood, and it needs to involve emotion.
Good.
The memory. So it either has to be something that was kind of sad or hard, or it could be something really happy. You know, it could be just an extremely happy memory that you have that you could also do this exercise with.
Well, great. Thanks. We need to end here right today, but I encourage you to try something. As Ron said, don't pick a big, gigantic problem. Pick something that expresses the feeling. Well, have fun doing this. Talk to you next time.
Thanks, Brent and Ron. I can't think of anything more important than getting your marriage right. My wife and I recently celebrated 55 years of mostly happy marriage, and it seems to just get better all the time. There have been times when stress and insensitivity made a few days bumpy here and there or stressful, but sometimes that stress was rightly brought on by trying to sort out important decisions. Ron McLean's organization has a terrific website. There are lots of resources there and links to what may be just the right tools and exercises for your relationship. The site address is www.growyourmarriage.com. Isn't that a great title? Check it out. Growyourmarriage.com.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.